In the aftermath of 9/11, Kevin Hazard felt that something was missing from his life. His days were too safe, too routine. A failed salesman turned local reporter, he wanted to test himself, see how he might respond to pressure and danger. He signed up for emergency medical training and became, at age 26, a newly minted EMT, running calls in the worst sections of Atlanta, Georgia. His life entered a different realm, one of blood, violence, and grace. Thoroughly intimidated at first and frequently terrified, he experienced on a nightly basis the adrenaline rush of walking into chaos. But in his downtime, he reflected on how people's facades drop away when catastrophe strikes. As his hours on the job piled up, he realized he was beginning to see into the truth of things. He writes about this in his new book, A Thousand Naked Strangers, A Paramedic's Wild Ride to the Edge and Back. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Kevin Hazard to the roundtable this morning. Kevin, thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, nice to have you join us. Congratulations on the book. What brought you to this particular subject of wanting to write about what you of not only what you do, but about what you have noticed about the people that you are working with?
There were two things, really. The first was that people that I encountered after I started this job had no idea what a paramedic was or an EMT or what happened inside an ambulance. And, of course, neither had I before I got into the job. So there was this sort of, there was a complete lack of understanding among the general public, and I thought somebody needs to tell this story because there's something great that's going on every day on all of our streets, and it's something we should know about. And the second was that when I had seen it portrayed in TV or movies, it was always in the wrong way. You know, either it was sort of the faceless guys in white smocks at the end of a Bruce Willis movie who, sort of cart away his injured partner, or it was this sort of overly heroic pounding on the chest, no one's going to die on my shift. Right. And that's just not how it is. It didn't engage in any way with the people who do it, the humor of the job, the difficulty of the job. And I just thought, there's just a great story here that's going on, right under our noses, and somebody needs to tell it.
Is there a routine to the job?
There's a routine in the sense that you have to approach everything the same way. When I was really new, somebody pulled me aside and said, let me tell you this story. And so essentially he shows up at this domestic dispute, and it's this teeny tiny woman and this great big man, and they've had this huge fight, and now they're calmed down, and they've decided that they're going to, go their separate ways for the night and iron it out. And he was called out because the man, who was monstrous, had this tiny cut on his forehead. My friend had been doing a job for years, and he looks at this cut, and he's like, man, I'm not jumping out of my ambulance to go put a Band-Aid on this man's forehead. I'm leaving. But his partner was brand new. His partner jumps out and runs over and, does his assessment on this guy. And when he touches the forehead, the guy sort of, I guess you could say, in a way, almost tightens and kind of convulses a little bit.
Yeah.
And my friend realizes that, wait a minute, there's something horribly wrong. Jumps out. Turns out it's not just a scratch. The woman had thrown a cast iron pan at the guy and it hit him in the forehead.
God.
And it had cracked his skull. And so when his partner touched it to put the Band-Aid on it, it pressed on his brain and it caused that momentary convulsion. And the point of the story was, no matter how routine something looks, you need to make sure you need to do all the steps that you always would do every time, because otherwise you're going to miss something. And that's the essence of medicine. So in terms of routine, you need to set up your ambulance the same way every day so that everything is where you want it to be when you need it. And you need to approach every emergency the exact same way. Otherwise, you make mistakes.
That idea of seeing people's facades fall away, how long were you on the job before you realized that?
Pretty quickly. One of the things that that you understand very fast is that, like all aspects of society, EMS has people of all stripes. There are good ones and there are bad ones. And that was one of the first things I noticed was, I went in with this heroic perception of people and assumed that my experienced partner could do anything. And I realized very quickly that he was doing his best not to do anything. And he was sort of chasing patients away. And that was the first one, that understanding that, oh, wait a minute, like everything else, you've got to watch everyone very closely because you never know. And then, of course, the patients themselves, where we worked was in a very dangerous section of Atlanta. You know, and I didn't have anything in common with these people, and yet when I walked through the door, there was this implicit level of trust where they opened themselves up to me and you know, let me paw through their drawers and ask some probing questions, and, you know, you have to undress them, and they reveal secrets to you that they don't even tell their own family members, and you realize quite quickly that regardless of what the differences appear to be, when someone's in need and another person steps up to help, there's this bond that gets created very, very fast.
And then you talk about your peers in the book, and you group them, don't you? You were able to sort of label them and put them in distinct groups.
Yeah, there's sort of, you know, obviously it's an imperfect science, but, you know, I found that there were a few categories that people kind of generally fit into. First would be sort of tourists, and that has to do with the fact that it's, you know, you can take a night school course and become an EMT, and so you have a lot of people who, say, are landscapers or who run a restaurant and need benefits, and so they get into this job because it sounds fun and it'll provide a steady paycheck plus benefits. And then you have, on the other end of the spectrum, you have people who I sort of refer to as killers, and those are ones that are not particularly good at their job. Either they shouldn't be here in the first place, or they've been around too long and have gotten burned out. You know, maybe they're just lazy, but who do, you know, whose failure to really attend to the details tends to harm their patients, you know, and it's not always accidental. There's this sort of strange ghost story floating out there about one of the guys that I worked with. He showed up at a call, and this was a 90-some-odd-year-old man with a million complicating health factors who they found barely breathing, alone, no family, and supposedly this guy just sort of put his hand over the person's mouth and let him drift away, which I guess in his own strange mind, that was an act of mercy. I think the rest of us would call it something quite different. So there's, you know, there's some people out there that really make you wonder. And then, of course, the other group, which is a very large portion of it, is what I refer to as true believers. And these are the people that, you know, from the time they were really young, they knew what they wanted to be. They wanted to be on an ambulance. They wanted to be a paramedic. And they are dedicated and devoted, and there's an almost missionary-like zeal to them in the way that they approach their job and try to impart that same passion to everybody else.
So the obvious question is, which one do you feel you are?
I think ultimately I spent most of my time in the realm of the tourist. You know, it was something that I found, I got into it because I wanted to do something that was larger than myself, and I hadn't grown up wanting to do it, but I, you know, certainly worked very hard at it. And, you know, I occasionally drifted toward the true believer sense, but, you know, ultimately, you know, it wasn't something I was going to spend 30 years doing, so I never made that full commitment.
Why did you leave?
A lot of reasons, but I think mainly is that EMS is a very particular type of field. You know, medicine, there are a million ways to practice medicine, but EMS is its own thing. And, you know, even if you become a doctor, which is the only person who has as much autonomy as a paramedic, you're now in an ER, and there are lights and air conditioning and HR and security guards and a cafeteria. It's totally different. When you're a paramedic and you're making those decisions, you're in the bathroom of a restaurant, you're in somebody's house, you're delivering a baby on the side of the highway, you're in an abandoned building where the people downstairs are still shooting at each other. It is a very particular type of medicine, in a more like 19th century house call medicine than it is anything practiced in one of the state-of-the-art ERs. And once you realize that you're sort of at the zenith of this very strange field and that there's nowhere else to go, you have to ask yourself, do I want to spend 30 years doing this, which is a tough job. It's physically demanding. You're outdoors. There's a great risk to hurting yourself from the patients. There's a lot of violence that you have to deal with from the patients. There's the risk of being injured in a car wreck, or, you know, the neighbors of your patient are shooting at each other and one of them accidentally shoots you. You know, so all those factors come in, and then, of course, it's, you know, it's a public safety job. It's not, right. It's, you know, nobody gets in it to get rich, and nor should they. But, you know, all those factors kind of came together after about 10 years, and I said, you know, I think it's time for me to move on.
And does that seem normal that there's just kind of an expiration date on it?
Yeah, you know, I think that is the case with this job. It's a very unique job. You know, you don't see nurses doing that. You don't see PAs doing that.
Right.
You don't really see police officers doing that. EMS is a very strange thing, and it takes an incredible toll on the people who run it. You know, where I worked at Grady, they ran well over 100,000 calls a year. You know, and there are only a couple hundred of us doing that, and you'd never stop moving. And it is a bit like a meat grinder, you know. And most people, to make it 10 years, people sort of stop and tip their hat and say, wow, you've been here quite a while, but you've seen a lot. So, it isn't something, it's pretty common for people to just wear out and have to leave.
My brother has been an EMT and in fire service for almost all of his life, for 20, 30 years. And I talked to him about it, and I asked you the question of it's routine. And he still has, he said, you know, there's still two incidents that he said he'll never be able to erase from his mind. And I assume that you have that, right? You have that list of like, they're the... that there are the ones that do get to you.
Yeah. You know, there's sort of two answers to that question. The first is that there are horrible people in the world who do terrible things.
Yes.
And you find yourself sitting across from someone who has been wronged in a way that's hard to even describe and who didn't deserve it in any way. And when you're sitting there with them and you look at the result of that, it's hard for that to ever get that stain off of you. You know, not that you sit around all day crying or it changes who you are fundamentally, but, you know, it's just not something you can forget. And then I think the other thing, which is equally as powerful and probably much more haunting, is the fact that, you know, you occasionally make mistakes. You occasionally don't do things exactly as well as you wanted to. And there are certainly people who died in front of me and that I thought at the time and to this day think, man, if we'd gotten there a little bit quicker, if this had gone right when it went wrong, we might have been able to save that person. And then, you know, it's very hard to forget that somebody looked at you with this pair of pleading eyes and their hope was that now that you're here, they're going to live, and they died anyway. And sometimes that's just the way it goes. I mean, there are some people, it is simply their time, and that's just, that's just the reality.
The name of the new book is A Thousand Naked Strangers, A Paramedic's Wild Ride to the Edge and Back. It is published by Scribner. Kevin Hazard, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. And thank you.
It's been great to be on.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, A Thousand Naked Strangers, published by Scribner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.